You have heard it said that Jesus was a mild-mannered teacher. But I tell you that Jesus taught a message that disrupted the status quo. You have heard it said that Jesus healed the poor and the sick. But I tell you that Jesus demonstrated that every life has value. And you have heard it said that Jesus broke the law by healing on the Sabbath. But I tell you that grace poured out from Jesus as he lived out the letter of the law. I heard the murmurs and the rumblings as I read that passage from Matthew. We don't like it, and we'll talk about why we don't like it in a bit. But first, I want to talk to you about the idea of radical, of being radical, because when most people think of a radical, the name Jesus is not the first connection that is made. If you think about radical acts, the Sermon on the Mount, which we read part of this morning and have been dealing with for the past few weeks, is not likely a speech that comes to mind as a radical speech. But as Scott Jose points out, he says, radicals, they throw Molotov cocktails at police. They stage sit-ins and carry placards in the town square. But that's not what's happening in Matthew 5 through 7, is it? We like to think of the Sermon on the Mount as gentle and soothing. The Beatitudes, which we covered 2 weeks ago, are so lovely. Jesus' teaching of what we now call the Lord's Prayer is likewise lyric, as is the passage that follows that prayer about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. None of this strikes us as radical. Jose continues, as he was taught in New Testament class long ago, the root of the word radical is the Latin radix, and that is the Latin word for root. The word radix lives on in mathematics to refer to the base number in some large systems of numbers and numeration. The radix is at what is at the bottom of something, at the foundation or even below the foundation, at the roots. The radix gets at the root, at the origin of something. And so there is a sense in which a radical is someone who wants to return to something, a political system, a religious belief system, to what it was intended to be in the beginning, at the root of all things. When Jesus talks about the law in scriptures, when Jesus indicates that he is the fulfillment of the law, this is what he is getting at, getting to the root of all things. He wants to bring people back to why the law was given to people in the first place. Not so that we can live in a rigidly codified legalistic society, but so that human life, in its most basic way, can flourish. Jesus is getting us back to the roots of why God gave us the law in the first place. That is what is happening in this passage. The law of God is meant to encourage human life. It is meant to be life-affirming at every level of our hearts and minds. The law of God does not exist so that we can manipulate those laws for our own gain and profit. The laws of God are not meant to help you get ahead. We don't use the law of God to trivialize people, use people or make them objects of lust, scorn. And we don't manipulate, and we aren't violent. The laws of God are not those things. This section from Matthew is often a stumbling block for people. We think we get it. We think we understand what's going on, and then we realize we don't have a clue what Jesus is going on about, because Jesus just appears to make things more difficult in this passage. Jesus, he plays on the Ten Commandments and some of the other laws in this passage. Specifically, he gets in about murder, adultery, divorce, and making and taking oaths. And we struggle with what Jesus says here because, as I said, it appears he is making the law even more difficult to live out. Haven't murdered anyone lately? Fantastic. But remember that guy you got angry at? Sorry about your luck. You're going to hell. That's what he says. Been faithful to your spouse? Wonderful. Glad you kept that vow. Keep it up. But remember that celebrity you joked about getting a hall pass for? Oh, that's really too bad you made that joke. You haven't taken God's name in vain or made any false oaths. But remember when you declared everything to be accurate on your taxes, only you know that it wasn't? Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. Jesus appears to be taking all of these laws of God and leveling up the difficulty, making it even more difficult to keep them. He's saying it's not just good enough that you didn't kill anyone, you're not allowed to get mad. Okay, so all of us are in trouble now, right? Okay, that's the easiest one to talk about of all of them, right? Right? He's making it harder. And we can despair because, honestly, Jesus, it just isn't fair. Not get mad. This from the guy who cleared the temple with a whip? So, what's going on? Right? This can't be really what it's about. It can't be really about just making it harder to follow all of these laws. Because we've all made a declaration that probably wasn't true. Little white lie. None of us have managed to keep those loose, lustful thoughts in check at every moment. And we've all had moments of unchecked anger. If we are really honest, we are all guilty of everything that I read this morning. And that's why you were all murmuring and mumbling and upset with the passage, because you thought you were doing so well. And then I read that and you went, crap. What do I do now? So here's the thing. And what I'm about to say, it doesn't get you off the hook. Because these things matter. If they didn't matter, Jesus wouldn't have spoken about them. Jesus wouldn't have taught about them. Our thoughts and our intentions, they matter. And that is what Jesus is getting at. He is getting to the root of the issue. He isn't trying to make the law harder than the Pharisees have already made it. He is radicalizing it. He is getting back to the root of why we have the law in the first place. You thought you knew what God wanted, but Jesus is telling us differently. That's the formula in this whole thing. You thought you knew, but I'm telling you this. It isn't that murder, lust, divorce, and oaths, that they don't matter. They do. Though our attitudes and understandings on some of these issues have changed as we no longer live in the patriarchal society that Jesus was raised in and lived in and wrote in. Or Jesus didn't write, but the gospel writers, when they wrote everything down. And our ideas about property and personhood, they have also changed, right? Every time I read scripture and the translation uses slave, and even servant, I cringe a little because we don't live in that world anymore. But what Jesus is trying to hammer home is that each of these things speaks to how we are in relationship with one another and with God. Murder, lust, adultery, oaths, they all speak to how we are in relationship with one another and with God. And so Jesus is taking us back to the roots of why God gave us these laws in the first place. Because the law of God is meant to encourage human flourishing. It is meant to be life-affirming at every level of our hearts and minds. The law of God does not exist so that we can manipulate them for our own gain and profit. They are not meant to help you get ahead in life. And we don't use those laws to trivialize people. None of these things do we do. We are meant to be in relationship with one another. And these relationships are meant to be harmonious. And we can choose to read this passage from the Sermon on the Mount literally. And I'll tell you right now that that is damaging. Damaging to try to read this literally, to hold ourselves to account. Because it is an impossible standard. Or we can get to the root of the matter and we can realize that what Jesus is talking about is the way that we treat and love one another. If we read it literally, if I were to preach it literally, I would be wagging my finger at you nonstop and I would be the biggest hypocrite in the room. And we would all know it to be true. And all of us would leave feeling guilty and deflated. And we would not have human flourishing and life-affirming conversations. We would be down and we would wonder what Neil's problem was. But this isn't what Jesus is trying to tell us. The law of God is not about petty moralism or finger wagging. It is about our relationships with one another. How we care for one another, how we treat one another, how we love one another. It is about how we choose to even disagree with one another. It is about a spirit of harmony and community. These are the things the laws of God are about. These are the things that the kingdom of God is about. And we are all partners working together for God, borrowing from Paul in his letter to the church in Corinth, which was not getting along and was using petty moralism and the law the wrong way. And Paul says to them, we are partners working together for God. And you are God's field, you are also God's building. And that is what we are as the church, as a community of faith. We are partners. We do all that we do together for God. And God wants us to get along, to put it most simply, to get along, to love one another, to build life-affirming relationships. And so as we go from this place today, as you go about your daily lives and your walk with God, be that. Don't feel that this passage is holding you to an impossible standard that you can never live up to. No. It is talking about how you love your neighbor. Thanks be to God. Amen.